Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you've missed, we are so glad that you're connecting with God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com.
We are committed to reading scripture today in another language. I'm excited about this. So I'm going to ask those of you who are able to stand in person, I'm going to ask you to use your device, because your device will, if you're online, you'll see it in English, but you can follow along in English, maybe even with your Bible. But we're in Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 21, and we're going to read what language?
Yoruba.
Say that again.
Yoruba.
There you go. And for all of you who know that, praise the Lord. You got the gift of tongue. Hallelujah, right? Yes. But let's hear the word of the Lord, because we know that every tribe, every language, and every people group will praise him. Here's Job 1, 6 to 21 in this language.
Inje o di ojo kan nigba ti awon omo Olorun wa ipe niwaju Oluwa. Satani si wa pelu. 7. Oluwa si bi Satani wipe nibo ni iwo ti wa nigba na ni Satani da Oluwa lohun ni ilo si wa seyin lori ile aye ati ni irin kerido ninu re Oluwa si so fun Satani pe iwo akiyesi Job iranse mi pe ko si ekeji re ile aye okunrin ti se olooto ti o si duro sisin eni ti o beru Olorun ti o si korira iwa buburu. 9. Nigba na ni Satani da Oluwa lohun wipe Job wa beru Oluwa lasan bi iwo ko ati sogba yi ka ati yi ile re ati yi ohun ti o ni ka ni iya gbogbo iwo bu si ise owo re ohun osin re si po si ni ile. 11. Ije nowo re ni sisiyi ki o si fi to ohun gbogbo ti o ni bi ki yi o se bohun li oju re Oluwa si da Satani lohun wipe kiyesi ohun gbogbo ti o ni nbe ni ikawo re kiki ohun ti kara re ni ki iwo ko gbodo fo owo re kan be ni Satani jade lo kuro niwaju Oluwa. 13. O si di ojo kan ngba ti awon omo re okunrin ati omo re obirin je ti won mu oti wine ninu le egbon won okunrin ohun se kan to Job wa wi pe awon oda malu ntule awon ketekete nje le oba ona awon ara saba si kolu won won si ko won lo pelu won ti fi ida pa awon iranse re pa emi nikan soso ni o sa sala lati royin fun won. 16. Bi o tin so li enu enikan de pelu ti o si wi pe ina nla Olorun ti orun bo sile o si jo awon agutan ati awon iranse re ni ajorun emi nikan soso li o sa sala lati royin fun won. 17. Bi o tin so li enu enikan si de pelu ti o wi pe awon ara Chaldea pingo si ona meta won si kolu awon ibakasi e won si kolu won won si ko won lo pelu won si fi ida sa awon iranso pa emi nikan soso li o sa sala lati royin fun won. Bi o tin so li enu enikan de pelu ti o si wi pe awon omo re okunrin ati omo re obirin je won mu oti wine ni ile egbon won okunrin si kiyesi efufu lati aiju wa pelu wa ikogun igun merin ile o si wolu awon odomokunrin na won si ku emi nikan soso li o yo lati royin fun won. 20. Nigba na ni Job dide o si fa iso igunwa re ya o si fari re o si wole o si gbadura wipo ni owo ni omo mi ti inu iya mi jade wa ni owo ni emi o si tun pada lo sibe Oluwa fi fun ni Oluwa si gba ibukun ni fun oluko Oluwa. 22. Ni gbogbo eyi Job ko se be ni ko si fi were pe Olorun lejo.
Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is living and active. We ask today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. And as Samuel prophet spoke many years ago in a prayer, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you. You can have a seat, head into your cars, Get back under your blankie at home. We are diving into God's word. We are using Job as our example today. We are finishing up this series called Pain and Suffering. Now I got to start moving or my feet will be frozen. My hands will be numb. So if I get a little excitable, okay. Pain and suffering. Week one, we looked at where did it come from? We gave you six worldviews and the biblical worldview that pain and suffering simply comes from the fact that God desires a relationship with you, a love relationship. And in order to have a love relationship, there has to be a choice. And in that choice, we walked away from God and became God or tried to become God ourselves. As a result, pain and suffering entered into the world. Week two, we looked at pain and suffering ultimately brings us to redemption, to redeem us and restore us. Week three, Pastor Curtis looked at pain and suffering brings us to the point where we understand eternal perspective and that heaven is our home. Let me bring us back as we begin this last week to a verse of encouragement, 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. I may not be able to hear you as you repeat it because you're in your car and you're in your home. But for those of you in the front row, you got a lot of pressure on you. The few that are still out, you diehards. I want you to repeat after me. I want you to know these verses. I want them to be a source of encouragement to you. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. Repeat after me. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Can I get an amen? We need to understand as we look at this last week that the items I've discussed to this point, we are able to understand that it begs the question, why would God allow pain and suffering to accomplish certain goals in our lives? Is there not a better way? Could God not just snap his fingers and say, enough is enough? And the answer to this is an answer that you and I may not like, but it's the answer nonetheless from the biblical perspective. And the answer is simply this, that God is sovereign. What does that mean? That's a religious term. In a very simplistic definition, it means this. God is God and God can do whatever God wants to do. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, there are secrets that only God knows. So yes, we know where pain and suffering came from, but why does it continue to keep going on? We need to know that God is saying to us today that he wants to use this in our lives. What you need to understand is that if pain and suffering has no rhyme or reason, then we are the worst of all folks. We need to understand that God wants to use this in our lives. The key verse that I will bring out to you is simply from Paul himself, Romans 8:28. And I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Paul is not saying that what you're going through in pain and suffering is good. He's not saying that the struggle that you're experiencing is good. He's saying out of that pain, out of that suffering, something good can arise. And therein lies the point of today's message. And I'm trying to unfold it for you. Solomon himself declares in Ecclesiastes, he says, the day of a person's death is better than his birth. If you have an eternal perspective, that makes some sense. He says in Psalm 23, David says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are what? You are with me. You are with me in that moment. That moment when I am going through the worst of all pains, you are with me in that moment. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now we're looking at a story that you may or may not be aware of. Job, we have a unique thing going on here as it was read. We have Satan and God having a dialogue. And they start talking about God's servant Job. Long story short, that God allows Satan to inflict on Job the most severe of pain and suffering. He loses his children. He loses all that he owns. He then is stricken in chapter 2 of Job by actually having his physical body struck. And even his wife looked at him and said, curse God and die. You don't get any worse than that. And in that moment, what do we see in Job's pain and suffering? He never cursed God. And he never sinned in all of this. Amazing. What I'm trying to say is that in the life of Job, and in your life and in my life today, God wants to use He will use pain and suffering for a greater purpose. It doesn't mean we will enjoy pain and suffering. It doesn't mean that we ask for it. We actually pray that God would deliver us from it. But while we're in it, God has a greater purpose. And this morning I'm going to give you three thoughts that I believe God will do in our lives during the middle of pain and suffering. The greater purpose for pain and suffering, number one, is this. It displays God's grace. Number one, it displays God's grace. Can somebody repeat after me? Say, give me grace, Lord. You see, Job was a good man. He was a good man, and it may seem that he was exempt from suffering. Job 1:1 says this about him. He was blameless. He was upright. He feared God, and he shunned evil. Wouldn't it be nice to find somebody like that today? Nothing bad happens to people like this, right? That's what we think. Jesus told us, you remember what I said? He said that the sun rises on the good and the evil, and it rains on the good and evil. Pain and suffering hits everybody. But we think that if we live a certain way, that we are somehow exempt. Yes, there is choices that we make that causes pain and suffering. No doubt about it. Even 1 John declares to us there is a certain sin that will lead to death. And we need to understand that also. But we see through Job that Job answers the why of suffering. He understands that in that moment, he leans into God. He needs his help in that moment. It says in verse 21, he says, nothing is mine. The Lord has the right to give, and the Lord has the right to take away, the sovereignty of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he said after he lost everything, was at his lowest point. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And he, as was read, it says in verse 22, Job did not sin against God, charging him wrongdoing. You see, that grace is the beginning in his life that he understands, I can't do this any longer. Once you and I have experienced grace at its pure form, it will transform us in ways that we can never begin to express. In that moment when we realize, I can't, I won't, I will surely not make it. And it's when God's grace comes in and we realize we no longer can do it. Suffering and pain push us to the grace of God when we no longer try to do it by ourselves, pushes us toward him. You see, the book of James kind of parallels with Job. James chapter 1 verse 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, pain and suffering of many kinds. Why? Because it will produce perseverance. Perseverance will produce maturity. And maturity will bring a point where you will lack nothing. James chapter 1 verse 3. James chapter 1 verse 12 says that when we experience pain and suffering, it will ultimately enable us to understand eternity in a way that makes all the difference in the world. In other words, the end goal is clear, and that is that we would be more like Christ in the middle of our pain and suffering, and we will have an eternal perspective. And that only happens when we experience the grace of God. I'll say it again. Do not let pain and suffering be an end of itself, to itself, but allow God's grace to come into your life in a new and fresh way, that you will allow him to do what he needs to do in your life while you're going through it. That's what I have done every single time in my own pain, in my own suffering. What is it you want to teach me, God? What is it? Here's what happens for most of us. We get so consumed with being delivered from pain and suffering that we miss the point, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But if, in fact, God chooses to allow not to completely deliver us, but to walk with us through it, he wants to teach us something clear. And that is key for every single one of us. The point of grace is this. We can't do it anymore. He can do it. Some of you sitting here in the parking lot today, some of you watching online today, you're right there. Maybe you're the only one that knows it, and you say, I can't do it anymore. I've done everything just like Job. I've done all that is right. I didn't ask for this pain. I didn't ask for this suffering, and I simply can't keep on keeping on. You've got it. That's exactly where you're supposed to be. That's in that moment, in your despair and in your desperation, that God becomes all that God needs to be in your life, that in any other way, he could not become what he needs to be in your life. Now you have a choice to make, and that choice is simple. You either will move into the grace of God, or you will walk away from God. Let me tell you clearly, if you walk away from God, that is a very dangerous place to go. Romans chapter 1 says, you want to go there? Your heart will become hard. You will become cynical. You will be given over to your own sin, and you simply won't care anymore. I challenge you today. We all have our story. We all have our narratives. I'll be a little open with you. I would say to you, and this will be a surprise for most of you, well, all of you. I'd tell you that in the last 2.5 years, and it had nothing to do with our transition from Detroit to here. It had nothing to do with it. But I've gone through some of the deepest struggles of my life. And I'm standing here. They're private. Nobody knows about them. Other than my wife. Why do I say that to you? I say that to you because I chose to lean into him. I'm not dysfunctional. I'm still serving. I still have joy. See, you may be sitting there in your car or in your house, and you're thinking, if you only had my pain, if you only had my suffering, then you would really understand, Pastor. Because look at you, you're up there just preaching away, but you have no clue. We're all on this together. There's not one of us exempt from it. And I'm here to tell you that it's in that moment that we lean into him and we will experience his grace in ways that we could never, ever imagine. In the moment that our heart hurts in ways that we didn't think our heart could ever hurt. In the moment that we feel lonely like we've never felt lonely before. In the moment that we feel hopeless in the way we've never felt hopelessness before. It's in that moment that his grace comes in and gives you and I exactly the thing that we need. The only problem with most of us is that we like to do it ourselves. We like to have it all nice and figured out. And that's the entire purpose of Job. Here's a guy that had it all together, and God stripped him of all of it. And where was Job going to go? We realize that he figured it out. The key point about this first point is simply this. Pain and suffering brings us to our end. And we depend solely on him. And this is good. Going back to our key verse, Romans 8:28. And I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Can I get an amen? The second thing that I would say to you of the greater work that God wants to do in us in the midst of pain and suffering is this. Number two, it perfects his power in us. It perfects his power in us. Can somebody say, give us your power? You see, Job didn't need his power until everything was taken away. And we see after all of that occurred, the next thing that happens is he has his four friends. You read it from Job 4 to chapter 38. They have this ongoing dialogue with Job trying to figure out what in the world did you do in your secret sin that caused you so much pain? Because nobody goes through this that didn't deserve it. You surely have done something. And they went round and round and round. And then in chapters 38 to 42, Job finds out about the power of God, doesn't he? Then he tries to justify himself before God after listening to his, quote, friends about his own sin. And in chapter 38, he starts to ask God, what in the world and why? And God starts to declare after all of this, and he says, hey, Job, how would you like God to say this to you today? Job, were you there when I put the universe in place? Were you there when I put the earth, planet earth, right where it needs to be in such a way that life could exist? Were you there when I created the heavens and the earth and the sea below? Were you there when I created man and everything in between? And Job was silent. And he puts his hand over his mouth and he says, I will not say another word. I see your power. And I realize it's only your power that will help me be the man I'm supposed to be. It's no longer Job. It's only him and his power. How many of you today realize that you are weak and you need his strength? How many of you know today that you can't keep on keeping on without the power of God? How many of you today feel like you're out of the boat and you're walking on the water and you realize that if he doesn't hold your hand, you will surely sink? I'm here to declare to you that is a good place to be. I don't wish pain and suffering on any of y'all, but it comes to all of us. But it's in that moment that God's greater work will occur. His grace will be evident. His power will be displayed. You need to understand that even as I said 2 weeks ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had all the talent, did he not? Job was righteous. Paul was talented. So God gave Paul a thorn. And he said to him, we don't know what the thorn was, but we know that in that moment, Paul realized that I can't do it by myself. That this thorn, whatever it was in him, brought him to his knees and said, I need your power today. And as a result, Paul changed the world. By himself, in his own flesh, Paul could have never done it. How many of you, because of your talent, because of your skill, because of your resource and your charisma, somehow you think you can do it? And you're a pretty good gal and you're a pretty good guy. But at the end of the day, you realize only God's power is going to be the one. And he says to us, and I will give you power once the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I got to confess something to you about this power. Many of you probably can relate to me, but I like to fix things. I like to fix people. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. There's so many things I can't fix. I've been grieving with you. If I could fix the corona pandemic, I'd fix it. Can't do it. If I could fix the social, racial injustices around us, I'd fix it. Can't do it. If I could make people feel and know that they are valued equally in the image of God and that everybody is equal at the foot of the cross, I'd do it. If I could fix it and create a politics that didn't breed hate, but enable us to have healthy dialogue and truly have diverse of opinions, I would do it. If I could create and fix a church that was less consumed about your opinion and about your right than about the great commission of loving God and loving the world, I'd do it. But I realized pretty quickly, I can't do it. I can get as excitable as they are. I can jump up and down in the middle of 30-degree weather on a semi-trailer trying to convince you it won't work. It's only the power of God. Only God can do that. Pain and suffering takes us right there. The hope of the world is the power of God through you and through me. Can I get an amen, church? Let me give you a biblical example. Mark chapter 10. There was a rich man. He had it all together. The disciples looked at him and said, he is the one. He keeps the commandments. And Jesus encountered him. And he walked up to the rich man. And immediately it said, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And he, according to all surface things, the guy had it together. The disciples went, this is it. And Jesus looked at his heart and he realized that money and power and talent and skill were more important to him. And he looked at that man, and although there's nothing wrong with money, he said, you must give it all away. That will release my power in your life. The man walks away dejected, and I'm sure Jesus was also. You read the story. The disciples stepped back and they went, wait a minute. If this guy can't do it, nobody can do it. He's it. He's the model. And yet he walks away dejected before Jesus. Jesus looked at them knowing what they were thinking, and he said in Mark 10, 27, you finally get it. With you, it is impossible, but with me, all things are possible. And once you come to your end and realize I can't do it anymore, whether it's through pain or suffering or just you in your walk with Jesus, that's where life begins. God uses, as I've said before, he uses pain and suffering as his megaphone to get our attention. I'm here to tell you, in the midst of all the things I just described that we're experiencing corporately as a society, and all the things that you're experiencing personally in your life, that God is speaking in those situations. I'll say it again. Whatever you're experiencing personally in your own life, whatever we're experiencing corporately, God is speaking. There is no doubt that he is. The question is whether you are listening. And whether I am listening, because we're too consumed with God delivering us rather than God speaking to us. And it is okay that God will deliver you. And people will ask me all the time, well, why can't we have the experience of Job? You all know the end of that story, right? It says in chapter 42, he was given more at the end of his life than he had at the beginning. And we all kind of use that as the blank check to say, I'm in the middle of pain and suffering. And somehow at the end, it's going to be better than it was at the beginning. Well, that's simply not true for everybody. Let's call it out. I do not know why God sometimes delivers people like he delivered Job. And other people will suffer unto death. But what I do know to be true, because God is sovereign, he'll do it any way he wants, is that for those he delivers instantaneously and gives them more, that's God's prerogative. But if he doesn't, what he has promised is that he will stick closer than a brother. He will walk with you through it. He will give you the power that you need. And somehow there's more ability for God to be seen in that moment rather than in all the victory. Because we've got a world out here who are hurting, who are fearful, who are insecure. And it's those of us who know the truth and the truth has set us free. It will be in that moment as we begin to live together that people will then be saying, wow, there is something different about them. Suffering helps us open up to God's power and watch him move. The key point in number two is simply this. God does not give us the why, but explains something good will come from our pain and suffering. His power is demonstrated in us. Let me repeat again, Romans 8:28. And I know that in all things, God works through the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Your pain and suffering is not good, but what comes out of it can be a beautiful display of God's grace and God's power. And if you're following me online, can you type in there, amen? For those of you in the parking lot, to keep me warm and keep on going, can you give me one honk? All right. Let me give you one more and last point, because my finger ends are gone. Not only the greatest purpose is his grace, not only that his power is perfected, but the third is it displays God's glory. It displays God's glory. Can somebody say glory? Now you're probably thinking, wait a minute. I don't see any glory in pain and suffering. I see glory when we're worshiping together. I see glory when I see miracles and signs and wonders. And that is true. But I am convinced God's glory is seen even greater in the midst of pain and suffering. Because it shows something supernatural that you and I do not have, or that you and I cannot fake, and you and I cannot buy at the store. It is simply a supernatural thing that shows how is it these folks can do and be who they are in the middle of their pain and suffering. Job, as I've already said, he sees the power of God. And as he sees the power of God, he sees the glory of God. And the glory of God is simple. The glory of God is that he is committed to God. Remember at the beginning, he didn't know chapter 42 was going to occur, did he? He didn't know that he and his wife would be reconciled. He didn't know that he'd be given more kids. He didn't know that he'd be more wealthy than he was with all the wealth that he lost. He didn't know any of that. But before all that, what did he say? The Lord gives and the Lord gives, takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So whether the Lord did it or not, it was Job's unending commitment in the midst of his pain and his suffering that brought glory to God. Not all that happened to him after the fact. It's important that to know that sometimes God may respond like he did to Job, as I already said, and sometimes he will not. But if he doesn't, my challenge to you today is simply this. Keep running home. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about eternal perspective. How many of you have seen Forrest Gump? All right. The part of the movie where Forrest Gump runs for 3.5 years back and forth, right? He gets a big following. And at the end of 3.5 years, he's kind of in the desert, as I remember. He turns around and everybody thinks there's going to be something really profound. And he looks at all of them and he simply says, what? I'm going home. Finding Nemo. Anybody seen that movie? The whole premise of Finding Nemo. If you haven't watched Finding Nemo, you either don't have grandkids or you don't have small kids, because otherwise you know exactly what I'm talking about. But in Finding Nemo, the whole point is Nemo wants to go what? Home. And then to age myself, the old classic Homeward Bound, where I'd cried all the way through. That dog had to make it where? Home. I've traveled the world. I was away this week. But wherever I am on the corner of this planet throughout my life, there's always desire to be home. And I'm here to declare to you today that in the midst of your pain and suffering, and God may not choose to deliver you like he did Job in his power, his glory will be seen in his deliverance. His glory will be seen in his ability to give you perseverance through it, one or the other. How can we display God's glory? A couple of thoughts in conclusion. God's glory is seen, and we're going to have to do this, church. God's glory is seen in pain and suffering when we go in pain and suffering together, when we do it together in community. The early church served in the pain and suffering of their moment, but they did it together and they changed the world because they saw God's glory in the middle of their persecution and their pain. Remember, I am persecuted but not struck down. I'm abandoned, but he is there. But being together in community changes everything. Does this make sense? There was a family in the country in which my wife and I served. They were refugees. And they were cast out of their area. And they were living with their three kids in a car. And our little underground house church, poor as we were, together as a community, put their tithe together. And we found them a little shack to get them through the winter months that they wouldn't have to live in their broken down car. And it was in that moment that people around looked and saw and said, what is different about this community that would care and sacrifice for this family? That's the glory of God in the middle of pain and suffering. I am proud of you as a church. We have not had pain and suffering like the rest of the world. I always try to make that clear to us. We've got to see it from a global perspective. I was with a group of pastors this week in California, and they all were sharing about their pain. About 30% of all what they were sharing with us is about the vast majority of pastors today that are pastoring during this season. 30% of their church, regardless of the size of the church, are against them. And if they made a decision the other way, there would be 30% against them in that direction. And then they lamented about where they are here and about where they are here. And they can't wait until we could just get back to things as normal. And I looked at all of them and I was the last one to speak, which is a miracle. And as I was the last one to speak, I said, listen, it may never go back to normal. You and I must continue to move forward as a community. We won't get it right every time. I don't know what happens this week, but I know the one who does. And that's not a cliche, that's the truth. And I will, and if I can do it together with you, I will do it a whole lot better than by myself. That family in that country in which my wife and I served understood that. The early church understood that. We as a church need to learn that. God's glory is brought forth in the middle of our pain and suffering when we do it together. In the messiness of that moment of being vulnerable and trusting one another. Trust is the key. We will also bring God's glory, lastly, in our commitment. Job's commitment was amazing. I think of the Apostle Paul right before he died, and they said, stay with us, Paul, the people in Ephesus. We'll protect you. The word is on the street. If you leave, you will die. And he said in his commitment, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He lived and breathed commitment till they took his head off. That brought glory to God. Because you know that you know that you know that you know if you will live with this kind of commitment. You see, we as a church can't be so committed to getting out of the pain that we don't allow God's glory to be seen during the pain. Anybody with me today? It's in that moment that his glory is seen. These are the greater works that God is calling us to do. And I would say to you that the world is looking and the world is waiting. It's our finest hour, regardless of what happens in the next months. It is the church's finest hour. Because I know the one who goes before us. And I am convinced he's the one who goes behind us. And I am completely without one doubt, knowing he's the one that holds me securely in his hand. And when the storms and the pains and the struggles come, it won't be Mick Veach that's standing. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ in his grace, in his power, and in his glory that will work in that moment. Can somebody say amen? The key point to number three is simply this. Remember that the chief end of man and women is to praise God. And it is good when this happens. Again, I will say to you, Romans 8:28. And I know that in all things work to good for those who love him and have been called according to his will. A couple things as we close. Number one, God is in control. We need to be reminded of that. God is in control. And he's got this. Number two, at the end of the day, we must let God be God, even when we don't understand. How many times have I disciplined my children when they were young and they looked at me like I was just a mean old man, but I knew a little bit wiser than they that what we were doing was the best for them. Don't you think that sometimes God knows a little bit better than us and he's got a plan that you and I can't? He's infinite. We are finite. I'm glad I can serve a God that is way, way above me. Anybody with me? Number three, we remain faithful and God will receive glory. Let me give you some next steps. Let's number one, submit to God's leading, even if you don't understand it. Let's submit to it. Number two, let's begin to seek him with a deeper passion in the middle of the pain and suffering instead of just wanting release from the suffering. And lastly, number three, get a prayer partner to pray with you. We need to do this together. Pain and suffering is a crazy thing, and none of us are exempt from it. Not a one of us, either online or in this parking lot, know what the next season's to hold. And all of us will never stop being to be amazed of that next pain and that next suffering. Never thought that would be me. Never thought this would happen to me. But I'm here to declare that's the moment and the reason we have a cross. That's why we have a church. That's why Jesus came. That's what we keep on keeping on. You're stronger than you know because of the one who lives in you. And you can do more than you think because of the one who lives in you. And you can keep on keeping on because you got brothers and sisters arm in arm that we can do this thing. I believe that with everything I've got. I see our struggles, I see our downfalls, and I see our strengths. But I am committed to keep challenging us to be everything that God wants us to be, even if it continues to look bad. Because we know at the end, there will be a delay of deliverance. And there will be a day where we'll be free. Can I get an amen, church? Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, I pray for those that are watching online and those that are in the parking lot. And although their pain and suffering is real and seems suffocating at times, I'm asking that you would do a greater work in them and through them. Would your grace show up today? Would your power be demonstrated today? And would your glory be made known? There's not a one of us that want to do it. There's not a one of us that want to experience pain and suffering. But we're reminded, Lord, of Romans 8:18. When you declare to us that our present struggle, our present suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. So we hold on to that today. We want to confess to you today, just like the disciples did many years ago when they watched you interact with the rich man. We want to confess to you that we can't. We can't. We need you. We need you now. Oh God, hear our cry. Be patient with us and keep leading us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, I'm going to ask those of you at home to grab your communion elements and those in your car to get yours. Shelly's going to bring my communion element up here. And as she does, I want you and I to know that it's really because of the cross. And it's because of what Jesus has done that we truly can have life. I don't know what you did yesterday. I don't know how much you messed up this week. But I'm here to tell you, according to the psalmist, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's taken our sin from us. And then Isaiah says, though your sin will be red like crimson, you shall be white as snow. And Jesus says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and he is just. He will forgive you of your sin and purify you from all unrighteousness. It is by faith that we are saved, not by works, so that no one can boast, right? We are the workmanship of God. So 3.5 years ago, Jesus was with his disciples. And he took the bread like he had done many, many times for 3.5 years. And he broke the bread. He said, this time, this is my body that is broken for you so that you can be free. And every time you all get together in the parking lot, think about it. He thought about us right here, right now. Isn't that crazy? When you get together and worship in the parking lot at KCC in 2020, I want you to break bread together or online. And I want you to partake of it. And I want you to be thankful together. Amen. And he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood that is spilled for you. He said, take this in remembrance of what I have done for you. This is the covenant. My work is done. No more sacrifice needed. Finished. Your part of the covenant is simple. Follow me. So I want you to take this cup together, not only with a heart that's thankful for what he has done for you, but also with a heart that anticipates, did you catch this? That he's coming back to take us home very soon. Take it with that hope in mind and with that commitment to say, I will follow you until my last breath. Amen. Let's pray together. And Lord Jesus, without you, pain and suffering would be overbearing. We thank you for the cross today, and that it is strong enough and powerful enough to care for every single need that we have, every failure, every thought, every opinion, every misspoken word, every action you took care of, our past, our present, and our future, sin. And for that, we're grateful today. Would you call us to be all that you need us to be and help us to love you better? We truly do. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. And all God's people said, and all God's people said, I'm going to ask everybody in the parking lot to stay where you are. And in a moment, our volunteers will dismiss you. And for those of you online and those of you in the parking lot, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace until we meet again. Amen.